Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we were just getting the news from Haiti from our last guest monitoring social networking sites. The other big global internet news today is that Google may be pulling out of China, where it entered amid controversy in 2006 because it agreed to help China with censorship. Now Google may have had enough. Siva Vaidyanathan teaches new media and society at the University of Virginia and has the Googleization of Everything blog. Hi, Siva. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Is Google leaving China or threatening to leave?
Right now, Google is threatening to leave. Google's playing a pretty high-risk game here. This is actually a tremendously interesting move and a very risky move for China. For Google. Google is, you know, basically saying it's willing to walk away from the largest market in the world, one in which it, at this point, only gets about 30% of the search traffic, but that's still 30% of China. That's pretty huge. Google's issue is that apparently Chinese agents or officials, it's kind of unclear, have been putting forth some pretty serious cyber attacks on Google servers to try to hack into Gmail, gather information on dissidents. Google has been able to figure out that China has done this to about 20 U.S. companies, and this is a major threat to how the internet works. It's a major threat to internet commerce. It's a major threat to our sense of security of data in the clouds. And so Google had a limited number of moves here, and by going public, it has made clear and obvious to a lot of people who had not been aware of the extent of this sort of hacking activity that's really, I think, threatening a lot of internet activity, and we weren't even fully aware of it until now.
So does this mean that somebody at Google is sitting there saying, well, it's okay if China censors, and we're complicit in that, not letting search terms like Tiananmen Square go through and things like that, but it's not okay if China spies on people using Google's Gmail, and they're trying to figure out where the moral line is for them?
I'm not sure they're trying to figure out the moral line. I think they worked through that algorithm some time ago. The way Google set up its operations in China was actually pretty neat and I think pretty wise. They kept Google.cn, the Chinese language China-only search engine, within China, so it would be fast for people in China. And again, that's only 30% of the market. Much more of the market goes to a homegrown Chinese search engine called Baidu, which happens to provide links to all sorts of pirated movies and music, which Google doesn't do. So that's one of the reasons it's much more popular than Google. Now, to be safe, to keep Google users safe, including political dissidents safe, Google kept all of that highly sensitive activity like Gmail, Blogger, and so forth on its offshore servers so that you could only get it by hopping over what they call the Great Firewall of China. And China would occasionally block that stuff, would block YouTube whenever there was a protest in Tibet or during the Olympics, for instance. So, you know, Google has managed to obey the law in China, and China has managed to annoy Google consistently over the past 3 years as a result, because it's just barely obeying the law. And Google's not letting China expose dissidents to harm the way that some other web companies have. So I think Google's policy so far in China has been eminently responsible. And at this point, it just cannot tolerate this level of behavior and insecurity by China. So it's throwing down the gauntlet. It's hoping that, you know, the United States, the European Union stand up to China and say, this cannot continue. And if that doesn't happen, if the political elites and the cosmopolitan sort of, you know, commercial corporate elites who use Google in China don't stand up to China and say, you know, we want our Google, then Google might actually find itself out of China in every reasonable way.
Amazing. What would it mean for free speech in China if Google does leave?
Not much. Look, right now, if you want to use illicit services, if you want pornography, if you want political dissident stuff in China, you use basic technologies like proxy servers, virtual private networks. Anyone who is a little bit technologically adept, has a little bit of money, knows how to do these things. It's no big mystery. You know, it's a matter of playing cat and mouse with the government, but, you know, it's entirely possible. Millions do it every day. You know, but basically most people in China are much more concerned about commerce and much more affiliated with nationalism right now than any sort of dissent. So, you know, I don't think anything Google does one way or the other is going to really change everyday life in China.
Who actually makes these decisions at Google? It's easy to think of Google as a nameless, faceless, giant company at this point. But, you know, not everybody is as approving of the judgments that Google has made to date in China as I guess you are. And, you know, people want to know, is it Eric Schmidt, the CEO, who sits there and says, well, it's okay if they censor our search engine searches, but it's not okay if they're hacking in to find out what people are Gmailing?
Well, you know, I'm sure that there's a, you know, there's probably a group of five or six folks at the very top, including Larry Page and Sergey Brin and David Drummond, their chief counsel, who walk through every permutation of this. And, you know, look, they're human beings and they're deeply troubled by a lot of what goes on in China, but they also know that they owe an obligation to their stockholders and that it would basically be commercial malpractice not to do business in China. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty stupid internet company not to do business in China unless you had a very good reason to create a showdown, which is, I think, what's happening here. I think this is a bargaining ploy. I think this is the sort of thing that they did. You know, they just raised the stakes, confident that their reputation and popularity with certain important parties is going to carry them through in the long run. It's the sort of gambit they played with the book search, but believe me, the stakes are much higher in this one.
So is it more Western governments, or is it more maybe Chinese business people who have the power to add that additional leverage?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's really that cosmopolitan elite within China who are the ones who primarily use Google, people who have a reason to read stuff published in The Guardian or watch BBC, you know, maybe a business reason, maybe a hobby reason, maybe a family reason, maybe a political reason. And you know, that notion that there is this layer of Chinese society that desperately wants to be connected to the outside world and in every reasonable way and doesn't want a major encumbrance, you know, they're the folks who have been using the virtual private networks with ease. You know, anyone who works for a foreign bank in China has the ability to use this sort of stuff, you know. So, you know, they're the ones who are going to be raising these questions of thinking Google's calculus. And I think Google should reasonably expect the U.S. government to raise this issue directly with China, because it's pretty clear that the U.S. government has been tolerating this sort of behavior for some time. It just hasn't been so clear to the rest of us the extent of it.
And do you think these cosmopolitan elites in China have a means to express their dissatisfaction to the government, or is political dissent not free even to that extent?
Well, that'll be the big test of whether the rise of the commercial sector in China constitutes an elite political class as well, which, you know, at this point we have not had that test, right? The big political tests in China have been about poor people and have been about the margins of China, the Tibet and Western China and so forth. And they really haven't had a throwdown in Shanghai and Beijing since 1989. And so there's a really good question there. Has China now created a class of people who are so well connected to the outside world that they actually feel confident enough to stand up for the interests of an American company?
Fascinating. Maybe we will find out. Siva Vaidyanathan, Associate Professor of Media Studies and Law at the University of Virginia, and you can see his blog, The Googleization of Everything. Siva, thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
And again, a reminder that if you want to help the people in Haiti, we have a list of ways to do that on the homepage of our website. Go to WNYC.org. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergon, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. We had intern help today from Rachel Senator and Sophia Tu, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.